Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The sermon for the third Sunday in Lent comes from our Old Testament reading of Deuteronomy. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. He said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me.'" That's Father Tack. The sky is falling. No, it's not. Of course it's not. It's just the media trying to work us up into a frenzy. It's just more proof that the government can't get anything right. But maybe it is the end of the world. Then, of course, there have been viruses before. It's a weird time that we're going through today. I personally have lived a bubble-wrapped enough life that the worst societal breakdown that I've ever had to deal with was 9/11. Maybe the aftermath of Columbine. I was in high school and college during that time. Those were bad. There was fear, mostly for the unknown. But with those two things, we could put a face to that fear, point to certain men who had masterminded it, and that helped a bit. Some of you have been through the scare of the Cold War, the unspoken mutual assured destruction that was promised between the Soviet Union and the U.S., the whole Cuban Missile Crisis thing, bomb raid drills and backyard bunkers. They were a real thing at one point in time. But you could still put a face to that, right? It was the commies. Others remember things that might be a little bit closer to what we're dealing with today. They might remember polio and the quarantines that happened because of that. But here we are today facing a situation that many of us, the young ones, haven't really faced in our lifetime, or at least not in the last 20 years or so. This pandemic in front of us, it seems to be a real thing, at least in some form or fashion. People are dying, it's true. More people will die. That's true. Perhaps it's all just a bunch of mass hysteria. Maybe it's all just blown out of proportion. But then again, maybe it isn't. From a statistical point of view, there have been many good and reputable researchers that have made arguments on both sides of this spectrum. Who do we believe? Who don't we believe? I don't know. But for the church, I'm not sure that any of those questions are the relevant ones to be asking. To be completely truthful, I found myself more worried and anxious than usual over the last week or so. And perhaps it's because of the 24/7 coverage that we've all been inundated with. From TV to radio to computer to smartphone, you can't turn any of these things on without first hearing about COVID-19. You actually have to go out of your way to put something else before your eyes. So sure, that plays a big part of it, I suppose, with my anxiousness. But then again, underneath this robe and collar, I'm really but a shell of a man. Worrying about the unknown is my weakness. You can ask my wife about that. Thinking worst-case scenario is always on the forefront of my mind. Maybe you know something about this. Maybe you've experienced this sort of fear and anxiety and what's tantamount to dread over the last week or so. But then again, maybe you haven't. Perhaps you've been able to have a level head. Maybe you haven't really worried about the impending doom, real or pretend, of this virus. Okay, good. You're a better man than me. But like it or not, it's here. Or at least the consequences of it are. Maybe it won't be as bad as some say. Maybe it will. Maybe it'll just blow over. But the ways that it has already affected our daily lives and the lives of our future, Too many to count. From the economy, to our healthcare system, to international and domestic travel, to everyday mundane things like going to the store and not waiting for an hour in line just to pick up a roll of toilet paper. Something about this pandemic, either directly or indirectly, has caused us all to fear something. As I was going through Costco a couple of days ago, amazed at the overwhelming sense of fear of the unknown that was pulsing through the crowds of people, something struck me. For me, this past week has been a constant, never-ending breaking of the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And even as I continued my shopping and probably bought more than I needed, I couldn't help but to continually be bombarded with this one truth, this heavy law that was laid upon me as I walked through Costco. COVID-19 has become my God. I know that sounds weird, but tell me the truth. What other ways can we talk about it? When I fear this virus, or the repercussions of this virus, more than God, have I not replaced God with it? And when I trust in the things of my grocery cart to bring me comfort and solace in the midst of this virus, have I not made them my gods? And when I love the normalcy of my day-to-day life, and I can't even begin to fathom a week, a month, 6 months, a year without that normalcy, have I not already made all of that a god in which I worship without even knowing it? Perhaps the worst of it, and it actually shames me to say this and speak it out loud, but I've laid myself bare so far, I might as well go full Monty. The worst of it is I've actually found myself seeking comfort in all of the reports that say, if you're not over 65 and don't have a pre-existing condition, you'll probably be fine. So my comfort in all of this is I'm young and I'm healthy. And then the second table of the law reaches up and punches me square in the jaw and asks, Eli, how in the world does this show your love for your neighbor, for those who aren't young and healthy like you? I know that every single day of our life, it gives us ample opportunities to sin, and we all take them. Every single day. But a thing like this really does give us the opportunity to read again the Ten Commandments and feel the weight of the law crushing us to the ground. Fearing something more than God, check. Not calling upon the name of the Lord in times of trouble, check. Not returning to God and His Word, His preaching and teaching for comfort, check. Not respecting the authorities over me, check. Not caring about my neighbor in his bodily need, hoarding more than I have to have, speaking ill of all of those crazies out there that don't agree with me during this situation, coveting the things that other people have, check, 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 check. Goodness, the only one on this list that I can't figure out how I've broken is the sixth one, but I'm sure, just give me time, I'll break that one too. It's a humbling thing to stand up here and admit all of this to you this morning, all of these sins of mine. I wish I was stronger. I wish I was a better example. But more than that, and maybe you have been immune to all of this so far. If so, well done. But more than all of that, and even you can't run from that last and true law that will condemn you. Maybe you won't die from this virus. Statistically speaking, you're not going to. The vast majority of people aren't going to. Statistically speaking, the vast majority of people aren't even going to have to go to the hospital or a doctor. But someone will. And someone will die. And someone you know is going to contract it. And you yourself will certainly have something happen to you at some point. Something in your life will happen to your physical body, and that will eventually kill you. And that's the big thing, the real thing, the thing that rings out truer and heavier and louder than anything else today. We're all infected with the common disease of sin, and because of it, we will all die. We'll all end up in the grave at some point. So where's the comfort then in all of this? Where's the comfort in a time like this when all of our lives are going to be in some form or fashion turned upside down? It's Jesus. And I know it sounds a little silly and simple. To the outside world, even to the sinner inside of me, my sinful flesh, Jesus sounds silly. To those things, the incarnation of Jesus doesn't bring much comfort. A list of precautions, a pantry full, a vaccine that'll come in the future, those are the things that sound way more comforting than Jesus, than God in the flesh. And don't get me wrong, all of those things are good. They're good gifts from God. And we should, in fact, follow these good guidelines for our personal and communal health. And we should, in fact, thank the Lord for daily bread, for food and drink and house and home and family and friends and all of those things, because they're a gift from God. And yes, the future vaccine will hopefully one day render this disease null and void, and we'll think about it as often as we think about polio, which is hardly ever. But none of those things offer salvation. And none of those things can actually deal with death. So we must come to our Lord. Or rather, we should come to the place where our Lord comes to us. For in the incarnation of God, we have a Christ who's defeated all things. All of these things. Anything that brings us fear and sin and dread and death. We must not let Satan drive us away from the things in which our Lord provides his good and gracious gifts to us, his life and salvation. It's good that we're here today. It really and truly is. The Lord is the Lord of his church, and he sustained her through far worse than this. From slavery to desert wandering to Babylonian captivity, the Lord has sustained his church. From schisms and denominational divides, our Lord has sustained his church. From pestilence and disease, from world wars and terrorist attacks and Christian persecution, the Lord has sustained his church. And he does all of this because at his death, Jesus declared, "It is finished." And at his resurrection, Jesus buried death in his own grave. And at his ascension, Jesus placed all things. All things, sin, disease, pestilence, war, economic breakdown, rumor of war, persecution, COVID-19, all things, death and the devil included, are under his feet. He's Lord over them all. And if we're his body, which we most certainly are, then all of these things have been placed under our feet as well. Even when, especially when, the world is in lockdown and the fear of death is rampant. And so we'll come here, each and every single time that we are able, to receive the gifts of our Lord. What at once was 105, hopefully it'll be that again soon. But it might be 70, or 50, or 30. As long as I'm able and healthy, this scared little feeble man will climb up into this pulpit and preach Christ crucified to you. I encourage you, when you're able, when healthy, do the same. Come and have your sins forgiven. Come and hear the word of your Lord spoken over you. Come and be reminded of your baptism. Come and receive the Lord himself in Holy Communion. And as we gather, for the sake of the weaker brother, whoever that weaker brother might be, because sometimes it's me and sometimes it's you. Let us act in a way which doesn't cause him offense, doesn't cause him unneeded fear or anxiety. Goodness, we should be doing this every single week anyways. If you're sick, stay at home, even if you know that it's just a cold. When we're here, let's do away with handshakes and hugs, even if you know you don't have it. Let's wash our hands, sanitize them often. If you normally receive the common cup and you don't want to, okay. If things get worse and you're more comfortable just to stay at home, that's fine. And let's reach out to those who aren't here and who will not be here in the foreseeable future. Take a look around you. You know where you sit, you're Lutherans. And you know who sits in front of you and beside you and who isn't here. Give them a call. Write them a letter. Do what you need to do. Offer a prayer on their behalf. Let's remember the least of those among us in our midst and make sure that they remember that they're a part of our family, a part of the body of Christ. If you're able, go to the grocery store for them. Do what they need to. Be a neighbor. Who knows, in 2 weeks all this might just blow over. Or in 6 months, we might have a new normal to get used to. Whatever the case, it's okay. For Christ is still risen from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father. He still gives himself to his church in word and sacrament. He still has promised us victory over sin and death and the devil. And so as we wait for that last day, when all of the misery of this fallen world is left behind us, let us remember and receive our Lord, when and where he gives himself to us. Let us continue to serve our neighbor, maybe even find new ways of doing it. Let us encourage each other in the faith. Let us individually and communally present our requests to God, casting all of our cares and anxieties upon him because he cares for us and has promised to grant us all things, promised to use all things, even evil, even COVID-19, for our ultimate good. Let us be the church, which means nothing else than let us receive Jesus. In the name of Jesus.